Good morning. My name is Catherine Alquist, and I serve as the chairperson for the Sanctuary Steering Committee. And I thank you for allowing me to be here with you this morning. I'm usually teaching kindergartners next door, so it's nice to be here with my family, with my home. In late 2016, many people in our congregation became concerned about the worsening plight of undocumented immigrants in our country and in our community. After much congregational discussion and discernment about how to respond, we, the congregants of the First Unitarian Church of Providence, overwhelmingly voted on April 23, 2017, to approve the sanctuary resolution printed as an insert in your order of service. At this time, I would like you to refer to that resolution and ask you to read in unison with me the last paragraph. You'll find it on a sheet that looks like this. It's white. It's printed in bold at the bottom. And it starts, "It is resolved that we, the congregation of the First Unitarian Church of Providence, hereby commit to becoming a sanctuary congregation in order to provide on-site shelter and support for those at risk for deportation. We commit to working with a coalition of interfaith partners, the UUA, social justice agencies, and other community organizations to oppose unjust immigration laws. We hereby affirm, by the authority granted under the coalition's bylaws of our Prudential Committee, to decide when and if it is appropriate to stand on the side of love and offer on-site sanctuary to vulnerable people and for making public, through the media, our actions and the religious values they represent." This resolution was the beginning of our journey to help provide support and accompaniment to the injustices of the undocumented. We raised money to create a legal living space within our church walls and trained more than 150 people to serve as on-site hosts for whoever might seek sanctuary in our building. We officially dedicated and publicly declared our building a sanctuary church in June of 2018. In November of 2018, we welcomed a family separated by ICE into our sanctuary room. Living at our church gave this family the time, space, and sense of safety necessary for them to determine their next steps. On Christmas Eve of last year, the family chose to return to Mexico so they could be reunited as a family after ICE released their father with an agreement he returned to the country he had originated from. Since that time, our room has been ready for the next family or person who seeks our help. Currently, we are one of 111 Unitarian churches in 34 states who have voted to offer sanctuary. Of those churches, we are among 13 congregations in 8 states who have in the past or are currently providing sanctuary. Although it is currently not being used, it is important that this room exist both symbolically and physically as a safety net for the immigrant community. In the meantime, the Sanctuary Steering Committee has explored other ways to be helpful. Due to the constantly changing political landscape in this country, sanctuary is just one of a host of responses needed to hopefully impact and ease the plight of immigrants. I want to take a moment here to tell you how proud I am of my congregation at First Unitarian. There are many people present here who support local groups that work with both undocumented people and asylum seekers. These groups are groups such as Amor, Prism, Fang, and many others. There are people from our congregation who regularly assist with driving asylum seekers to court appointments and ICE check-ins. Many donate money when someone from the immigrant community needs financial help. We have invited members of that community to our food pantry and delivered backup supplies to their food drives. We have written letters of protest and support, circulated and signed petitions, and made phone calls. We have been protesting and advocating for the closure of the Wyatt Detention Center in Central Falls and the termination of their ICE contract. People have even driven to Plymouth, Massachusetts to protest the Bristol County Jail and their cruel ICE policies. We do these things out of love, out of horror, out of compassion. And still, every day, despite the leadership of this country, people continue to come across the U.S. border seeking asylum, escaping unimaginable horrors in their countries of origin. Every day, people are locked up in detention centers because they had the misfortune to be crossing the border at one of the most unfriendly times in our country's history. In keeping with our sanctuary resolution to work with a coalition of interfaith partners, our committee has reached out to and now regularly meets with representatives from 12 different organizations, which include congregations, temples, mosques, and community groups. When we began working with them, educating them about our sanctuary work, we started asking if they would be interested in exploring how we could support asylum seekers in Rhode Island through a program called sponsorship. Asylum sponsorship is a commitment to supporting a person or a family who has entered the legal process of seeking asylum in the United States. The answer from our coalition was yes. To date, this group, the Asylum Sanctuary Coalition, has helped two Rhode Island families become sponsors, with three more who are in the process of applying. So far, these sponsors are Congregationalists, Quakers, and Unitarians, with support services offered from other interfaith communities. This support takes the form of connecting people with former or current sponsors, information, logistics and supply, and future fundraising activities. We have also found our monthly meetings provide a safe space and sounding board for people who have experienced difficulties or trauma due to ICE or the immigration process. While sponsoring someone may seem like something which can only help one person or a family at a time when so many are suffering, I assure you, the effects ripple out in an endless circle through time. During our own discernment process at First Unitarian, we heard many personal stories from people who had experience with immigration, spanning from World War II to recently. People in our own community have experienced what it means to pack up their lives and start over from scratch in another country, and how someone lending a hand can make all the difference in the world. It is the hope of the Sanctuary Steering Committee that there are some among us who have the space and means to open their homes and their hearts to make this kind of difference in someone's life.
Good morning. My name is Heather Vickery, and I am the coordinator for congregational activism at the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee and the Unitarian Universalist College of Social Justice. I'm also the president of the board of my congregation, the First Parish in Malden, Massachusetts, and an activist with the Boston Immigration Justice Accompaniment Network, also known as Beyond. So you can imagine how excited I was to be invited here with you today to talk about your congregation's call and commitment to work for migrant justice. Strangely enough, my call to this work came around the same time that your churches did. You see, in October 2016, I was lucky enough to lead a journey to the Arizona-Mexico border for the College of Social Justice with a church from Maryland. And it feels like ages ago, and not just because that journey happened before the 2016 election, but because when I came home from that journey, I had all kinds of expectations about how this work would look, what I would be asked to do, and how I would feel doing it. Some of my expectations were on point, but I'm not gonna lie, most of them weren't. And the things I didn't know about this work. I didn't know that I would physically pay bond for five people to be released from detention. I didn't know how those actions would make me feel connected to the neighbors that I bonded out and the people of the network that I was working with, almost as if our lives were threads in that moment that were tied together into the most beautiful knot imaginable, even though I had never met most of them. I didn't know what it would feel like when one of those bonds came back to me because one of the people we bonded out had lost his asylum case without any of us knowing and had been deported a week before I got the letter. I didn't yet know that choosing to do this work, even when it's painful, even when there aren't many clear victories, that choosing to do this work anyways would be the purest expression of my faith I have ever experienced. I didn't know that I would get to meet and know two amazing women who are seeking asylum from Central America, one who is being sponsored by my boss, the Reverend Kathleen McTeague, and one who is being sponsored by my colleague, Hannah Hafter. I didn't know I could feel so much love for two people when we can barely communicate through language differences. I didn't know that in many ways, my most important contribution to migrant justice work would be my ability to read and understand legal documents, balance the bond fund checking account, and write support letters for people seeking bond. I didn't know that holy work could feel and seem so mundane on the surface. I didn't know how much I would grow in my faith and in my work by being connected to networks of people who are also doing this work, who know that the work is messy and constantly changing, who are committed to keep saying yes, who are committed to keep figuring out a system that is purposely complicated and confusing and inhumane. Because even though it's frustrating and maddening, our deepest values tell us that migration is a human right and worth fighting for no matter the cost. And after all of that, after more than 3 years of doing this work in various ways through UUSC, through UUCSJ, through my church, and through beyond, there are only a few things now that I do know. I know that I am in this for the long haul, that there may never be an end to this work for me, and I'm going to do it anyways. I know that there are others out there doing this work, migrants and their families, activists and organizers, co-workers, friends and family, each and every one of you. I know that we make mistakes, and let me tell you, we will make mistakes. We will call each other in and we will do better next time. And even though we might be embarrassed or afraid of making mistakes again, we will do this work anyways. I know that the work will be hard and ever-changing, that we will lose sleep and we will cry, that we won't always win every case, and we are going to do it anyways. I know that we may not all be around when our dehumanizing immigration system is torn down, but I know that it will be torn down eventually, because in spite of not being able to see the end of the road, we will travel it together anyways. Finally, I want to leave you with the four values that Beyond uses in our work, which I think will help you as you continue your work for migrant justice and transition into asylum support. First, we honor people's dignity and choices in a system that denies dignity and choices. Second, we expect messiness, confusion, and discomfort, and we choose courage and trust. Third, we judge the system, not the people. And fourth, we fight for one another as family because we are.
years, give or take, 2.5 years since this church took our vote and passed our resolution and drew our line in the sand and declared ourselves. 2.5 years and so much change that we are hard-pressed to keep up. 2.5 years and so little change that things are only worse for our friends and neighbors who are refugees or undocumented immigrants, in all the ways we've seen and heard about, with the wrenching apart of families, with the perverse creation of new forms of torment for those who come here seeking a better life, safety, hope for themselves or their children. Intimidation letters, you may not have heard of these. Intimidation letters are sent to them billing undocumented people tens, sometimes even hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees for those very government processes that are grinding them within the gears of institutionalized oppression and persecution. Imagine being imprisoned and then receiving a $500,000 bill for your imprisonment. $500,000. $500,000. And keeping asylum seekers in these prisons because they need sponsors. I say a few times a year that one of the principles of Unitarian Universalism is that revelation is ongoing. Right? That's meant to be a theological insight. And yet, when it comes to the situation with undocumented immigrants and refugees, revelation is ongoing. And the landscape of this journey changes continually, and its only constant is the harshness. It's like we fall asleep in one setting filled with, say, needled cactus and poisonous flowers, and then we wake up the next day and it's a landscape full of jagged stones, like a scree field, so dense that every single step is fraught. Except that in this church, those of us who are already citizens or documented are not the ones who have to wend our way through the cacti and the scree. We are the ones trying to create just a safe space to rest, or to clear a single space for a single footstep amidst the scree. And that was what our declaration in April of 2017 committed us to. And now, here we are, moving towards Christmas again. And so, of course, we have to say, all people have to say, there is room at the inn. That there will always be room at the inn. That we will always find some place, some way for families in need to be sheltered. We honor the courage and the grit and the faith of those who risk everything to come here, and we remember the stories of so many of our own families who made that same choice and took those same risks. And we know we live in a land of abundance, and that we can give as generously as our own families have received, and as generously as we know how to. Because so many of our own forebears were served or saved by whoever made it possible that they should live and prosper enough, at least, that we ourselves would come to have life now. Someone helped them. Perhaps some of us gathered here can sponsor someone into asylum. Perhaps some of us, like Heather, can be part of a support system for someone who's a sponsor, can help with house sitting or transportation or reading documents, the many activities that come with sponsorship. Perhaps some of us will continue to demonstrate at Wyatt or at Plymouth, or will go there for the first time soon. We all find our place in this resolution that this church made together. And it doesn't ask one thing or the exact same thing, from all of us. But it does ask us, every one of us, to live into that commitment, which is not a commitment to resistance, it's a commitment to humanity. And it's a commitment to humility. And it's a remembering that the story of the refugee and the undocumented immigrant is the story of so many in our families. So we have to meet it not with scorn, but with recognition. And so resolution. And of course, love. Always love. Can we join in singing our closing hymn, Standing on the Side of Love? It's number 1014, again in the teal hymnal you have near you. Please be seated. You may remember we had a sermon last year when we talked about the impact of offering sanctuary on members of this congregation, and we learned that even people who gave the utmost, who spent enormous amounts of time every day, every week in the sanctuary effort, felt that they got back way more than they gave. It grew them, it uplifted them. One of our members felt much, much younger as a result of his efforts than he had felt going into it. We learn that the work, the service, living into it is not about charity. And it's not even about sacrifice. It's about gaining, and it's about transformation, and it's about humanity and blessing the world and being blessed by what we do. So there is no better moment than now to thank again everyone who has done so much to make this a sanctuary church, everyone who has donated, worked, volunteered, served, hosted, spent time converting the room, worked with the city to get the legal approvals. We have so much to thank you for, though we know you gained from their work, and thank you now for all of that. I look out at this congregation, and so many people I look at, I see, I remember what you did.